But today, we're going to do what's called a responsive reading, okay? So what that means is we're going to have some folks who are going to be talking about why, I think Corn's pulling it up. So people are going to be talking about when they feel a certain way, there's a verse or a set of verses that they read that help them out with that, okay? And so if we go to this next slide, Corn, they are going to read this white box, and then if we could have everybody read the second part there. So it's a responsive reading. The leader will read a piece of the verse, and then we'll read a piece and kind of back and forth. Okay, so if you're helping us read today, if you're one of our responsive readers, if you guys could come on up to stage, that would be great. So as they're coming up here, the reason we're doing this is because God's word is really valuable. So each of these people, we didn't tell them, here's the verse you have to do. We just gave them a theme of when you feel a certain way, what's a verse that sticks out to you. So some of them will share a little bit about why they picked that verse. But if you want to hear the full story, go ahead and ask, you know, Chad or ask Ryan or Heather, why did you pick that verse? How does it help you? So we're going to get started with Gail.
Didn't know it was going to be an obstacle course up here today. My very favorite verse is the one we're talking about today, and it's about peace, and you find it in Philippians 4. And I know that probably a lot of you had some of the things happen to you that have happened in these verses and to us. Philippians 4, 12 through 14. I know what it is to be in need.
And I know what it is to have plenty.
I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation,
whether well fed or hungry,
whether living in plenty or in want.
I can do all this through him who gives me strength.
Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles.
Love. When I feel love, it is because of Christ and the Holy Spirit. He is the source of all love. In the reading, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud.
It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered.
Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth.
It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
Love never fails.
One of the things about life happens. Anxiety happens, fear happens. Whether it's, you know, somebody coming at you that is wanting bad things for you, or you're just minding your own business driving down the road like I was last week and your car just completely dies. And all of a sudden you don't have a car and you're looking for a car, fear and anxiety happen. And when those things happen, I find myself leaning on the verses that are currently loading. Da-da-da-da. I don't know how to dance, and I just had surgery on my foot. Otherwise, I could. Do you mean to just read it? Everybody cheer for Chad?
No, I'm not dancing.
Okay, hang on.
That's fine.
Okay, you can read off the small screen. Just squint. It helps. Okay, you ready? The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life.
Of whom shall I be afraid?
When the wicked advance against me,
to devour me,
it is my enemies and my foes
who will stumble and fall.
Though an army besiege me,
my heart will not fear.
Though war break out against me,
even then I will be confident.
You guys are really good at that.
direct correlation between doubt, the amount of doubt in my life, and the amount of time I spend in the Word, and the time that I let busyness take over that time that I'm spending in the Word. So when I'm in doubt, I lean on Psalm 46, 10 and 11. He says, "Be still and know that I am God.
I will be exalted among the nations.
I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord Almighty is with us.
The God of Jacob is our fortress."
When you feel lonely and sad, I waited patiently for the Lord.
He turned to me and heard my cry.
He lifted me out of a slimy pit,
out of the mud and mire.
He sat my feet on a rock
and gave me a firm place to stand.
He put a new song in my mouth,
a hymn of praise to our God.
Many will see and fear the Lord
and put their trust in Him.
When I feel angry, a fool is quick-tempered,
but a wise person stays calm when insulted.
And don't sin by letting anger control you.
Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry.
For anger gives a foothold to the devil.
Amen.
Joy is my word. And many years ago, when our daughter was a teenager, she, for Christmas, she gave me a paperweight that said, "Joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength," out of Nehemiah 10:8. And I kept thinking about that verse, and I put it on my desk. And so for years and years, as you know, joy became very important to me in weakness and in strength. And then I fell in love with Philippians and what Paul wrote about joy. But then in 1991, we had a women's retreat here led by Ann Ortland, who was a popular author out of California. And the theme of that women's retreat was "Fix Your Eyes on Jesus," from Hebrews 12:2. So we'll put Hebrews 12:2 up, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus,
who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame.
And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Isn't that wonderful to think about? And that's where we can have joy throughout everything that takes place in our life. Thank you.
Thank you, guys, everybody that helped and shared. And there are a lot of cool stories to be heard about connected to these verses. I got to hear Ryan and why he picked his verse. I know some awesome stories from Chad about how verses have helped him with anger. Everybody up here who shared has a cool story. So feel free to pull them aside and ask them about that. So today we're talking again about the series Open Hands. We started it last week. And last week when I was telling us about it, started off by saying how this whole series is about experimenting. And so as a kid growing up in school, one of my favorite times in school, apart from lunch and recess and things like that, was when we'd be in science class and they'd say, "Okay, today we're going to do an experiment." And so I always loved experiments because you got to do fun things and interact. And I was thinking this week about one of my favorite experiments was all the way back, I think it was in about seventh grade. And right off the bat, the experiment had my attention because we all got handed out a bunch of cheese puffs. So I was instantly happy because as a seventh grader, junk food, you know, is like priority number one, I think. So, you know, so right away we start eating some of, you know, the experiment material. You know, we're starting to eat cheese puffs. Then we find out what we're supposed to be doing with the cheese puffs is one of my other favorite things as a seventh grader is we were going to light them on fire. So it was like, well, this is the perfect experiment, you know? So thank you, Corin. So this is similar to what we were doing in the class. Had a little beaker of water, like above the cheese puff on a little stake. and then you had a thermometer in the piece of, or in the thing of water. And the point of the experiment was to teach us about calories and how calories work. So what is a calorie? Well, it's fuel for your body. And how many calories are in a Cheeto? Well, that day we measured it by how much the water temperature went up in that little beaker of water from that flame. And so right away, that always stuck with me. What is a calorie? Okay, calories are fuel for your body. A secondary lesson that always stuck with me, even though it didn't instantly change my eating habits, was I realized, like, it's a little weird that I eat something that if you put an open flame to it will instantly set on fire. You know, it has that much oil that it'll just light on fire, you know. So that stuck with me, this idea of what is a calorie, and also it made me look at food a little bit differently, which anything that, you know, now I'm 30, anything I can remember from seventh grade school, I mean, that is a victory for those teachers that were able to have me remember anything, you know. So the reason I remembered it, though, is because we did an experiment, and I saw it. And what we're trying to help you guys do in this series is to do some experiments. Try this stuff out and see what happens. You know, these sorts of experiences last with us. And so today we're going to be talking about making space in your life, opening up your hands. And we're talking about this experiment of Lent. Last week, Amanda did an excellent job explaining what Lent is. It's a tradition in Christianity where we let go of something, sometimes even something good, for a period of time leading up to Easter so we can open up to God in a new way. And so Amanda talked about one year she quit smoking, and she just hasn't gone back to smoking because obviously you don't want to go back to that once you've quit. But then she also talked about one time she gave up TV for a set amount of time. And it wasn't that she never watched TV again, but it changed her TV habits after that. Because that period without TV, she read the Bible a lot more, interacted with God more, and just was a little less plugged into TV. So now she just has a different relationship with it. So these are the sorts of experiments we've been talking about doing. And a slide that we showed last week that I think is worth showing again is a lot of us feel like our lives are like this lady on the left. So much stuff. We can't possibly cram anything else into our life. So what I'm encouraging you to do is not to try to cram something else in. It's actually to let go of some stuff. What if you dropped some stuff, even just for a week, and said, I'm going to open up that time I used to spend doing something different with God? And we're basing all this stuff off of a passage in Luke chapter 4 where Jesus was in the wilderness. So we talked last week that Jesus, before he started any of his ministry, before he started doing miracles or preaching, he spent time alone with God in the wilderness. And during those 40 days we read last week, he fasted. So he didn't eat any food for 40 days, which is like a boggling amount of time. He's literally on the edge of starvation by the end of it. The Bible tells us at the end he was hungry, kind of an understatement. But we talked about last week, food's not evil. Jesus thanks God for food later on in the Gospels. But we talked about that Jesus let go of something good in order to open up to God. Do we have any overachievers from last week that remember the word that I really emphasized, I told you guys to remember last week? Full. Dan, there you go. Dan is an A-plus student. So full was the verse last week we read. It talks about Jesus didn't eat. But the only thing it talks about with empty or full, it says that he was full of the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about opening up by letting go of something. So this week, we're going to be talking about the next verses. So Jesus is hungry. He's all by himself. And don't you know that that's Satan's favorite time to show up? When you're alone or vulnerable and when physically you're not feeling wonderful. So the devil shows up and says, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. So Satan tempts him to use this miraculous power he has just for himself and just to satisfy himself and just to prove himself. So how does Jesus respond to this temptation? Jesus had, we talked about in Sunday school, if you were downstairs, Jesus had all the answers and he had all power. So he had lots of stuff he could have done, but what did he choose to do? It says, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. So Jesus points to something in the Bible and he just quotes something from the scriptures. He doesn't do a laser light show or do something miraculous. He just quotes the Bible. The interesting thing about this verse is it's about a group of people, the children of Israel. There we go. And guess where they were in this verse? They were in the wilderness, which is the same place Jesus was at, or a similar place. And guess how they felt a lot of times when they're in the wilderness? Maybe kind of hungry, yeah. So we'll go to some hand signals. So he knew a place in the Bible where some other people were in a similar spot and had similar temptations. So that shows, and he was able to quote some of that scripture. How many of you, when you're facing a temptation, you can say, I know in the Bible a place where people were like me were going through something like this. It's powerful if you know the Bible that well. Here's the whole verse that Jesus was quoting. It says, God humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna. That's miraculous food, which neither you nor your ancestors had known. Oops. To teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. This idea that man doesn't live on bread alone, not just food, but that we need God's word. Jesus had this relationship with the Bible that I think a lot of us don't even really understand. It seems magical or mystical, kind of like this, of how is he able to go so long and still be able to just stand on God's word? How is he so hungry and able to say, I'm full of God? How did he know the Bible backwards and forwards enough to where when he was in a temptation, he could point to an exact spot where he's like, nope, this is what happened to other people in my shoes. This is what the Bible says about my situation. So today we're going to be talking about how do you unlock the Bible, or how do you live on the Bible? And obviously Maywood is not the Jake Taylor show, and so it's not about all the stuff that I know we were talking about in Sunday school. It's only when all of us are together do we really start to see a whole picture of God. Bobby was teaching us that earlier. And so today we're going to have a few different people come up and talk to us about how do they live on God's word. And they're going to share a lot of information, more than any of us can do this one week. So what I want you to do, you're on like a treasure hunt right now to find what's the one thing you want to do this week based on what one of them says. So figure that out. What's something that they say that really clicks? It's like, I'm going to try that out. I'm going to experiment with that this week. So Natalie, if you could come up. I'm not sure where you're at, but Natalie Hickman's going to come up on stage. So give her a warm welcome. And so Natalie, I know sometimes people think Natalie's like 25 or something because she's so mature, but Natalie, how old are you? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm 17.
You're in high school,
I'm in
right?
High school.
Yeah, okay.
I'm a junior. Actually, all my classes are online this semester.
Yeah, so like a year ago, you were super involved. Yeah. I mean, can you name some of the things you're involved with at school?
I'm in band and show choir. In theater, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay, so Natalie's one of those types of kids that I think every parent wants, of like super involved in school, super good grades, super like good kid, we would say. But this year really hasn't been that easy because now, you're saying you're on online classes. What's going on?
I have migraines like almost daily, and if you don't have migraines like all the time, it's kind of hard to like picture them. They're very debilitating and like nothing, like I need to be like in complete darkness and like sounds really bother me, and it's kind of putting my life kind of on hold for a second.
Yeah, and I know, I mean, we don't have time to go into all the stories, but there's been a lot of different treatments tried and doctor's visits and a lot of pain and suffering and a lot of struggle and stress. And a lot of us know it's hard to just make it through being a 17-year-old, but Natalie's facing a lot as she's going through that. So a piece of kind of, I think, your success, Natalie, has been how you interact with the Bible. So can you tell us a little bit on how you live on God's word?
Well, I think God's word is more than just reading the Bible. It's like living out what the Bible tells us.
Yeah, that's big. I want to emphasize that. It's more than just reading. It's living out what God tells us. So you've got a strategy. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It's called the four R's. Jake taught it to us when he was the youth pastor.
Which I didn't know now he was going to share this. I just knew, like, oh, Natalie's got a good relationship let's find out with God. Let's find out how she does it. And then she starts talking to me about, well, remember what you taught us when I was in seventh grade? And it was just like, oh, like, melt my heart type of thing. So these are the four R's. I'll let Natalie introduce them, though.
Well, it's request, read, reflect, and react.
Okay, so tell us about the first one, request.
Request is just to, like, welcome the Lord to be with you as you read and to kind of help you understand what you're reading.
So can you, because that might be kind of a shorter prayer, can you just tell us what you normally pray?
I just pray, Lord, come meet with me and open my eyes to your word.
Yeah, so it's really, really simple, but I think it's important that we actually invite God to come and meet with us when we read the Bible. So what's step number two?
To read.
Okay.
That one's kind of the easiest one. You just read. I try to read every day. I don't do that. But I have, like, a devotional that I'll read, and you just read.
Yeah, so the devotional kind of guides you and what to read, and you just read. So about how long are you normally reading for?
Maybe like 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay, so reading for about 10 or 15 minutes, following a devotional, but reading some of the Bible. And then aren't you pretty much done? Didn't you read the Bible?
Well, no, there's two more steps. The next one is reflect.
Okay, so reflect, what is that about?
I use it as a time to just, like, kind of, well, to reflect on what I read and to see what God was trying to tell me.
So how many minutes or so would you say that you spend reflecting? Because you spend about 10 minutes reading.
Maybe 15.
Okay. So a little bit longer than you read. Yeah. And you're thinking about what is God telling you, okay? And so when you open up that reflection time, does God kind of talk to you through that time?
Not always, but I feel like with this method, he tends to more often. That's what I found anyway.
Yeah, so actually listening and paying attention to what you read, well, then you're really done, aren't you?
Well, no.
No? Okay.
Then you have to react.
Okay. What's that about?
Taking what he told you and doing it, because, I mean, if you don't do it, what was the point of reading?
Yeah, and in the earlier service, Natalie said, if you don't do what you learned, then you're dumb.
Well, I don't always do it. But
okay, so be honest. Yeah, Natalie's not a perfect person either, but I did push the first service, and I want to push you guys in the same way. Of next time you know God wants you to do something and you don't do it, I want you to picture in your head a little cloud bubble of Natalie Hickman saying, you're dumb. Like, why didn't you do the thing that you know you're supposed to do? So Natalie didn't tell me to say that. I'm sorry to put words and imagine in your Natalie's mouth. But I do think it makes a lot of sense. If you don't actually put it into practice, like, what's the point of the first three steps? And so doing these four steps, do you have an example maybe, Natalie, of how this has helped you?
I recently read Psalm 86, which... And it, David is asking the Lord for help, and he's not getting any, but he continues to praise him and to thank him, and I realize that that's what I should be doing too.
Yeah, so even in the midst of going through some really hard stuff, having to make hard decisions, you were able to find some strength and hope through what David was doing. So now you're praising God even in the midst of a hard time. Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. Well, thank you very much for sharing, Natalie. So, Dee is going to come up here next, so we're excited for Dee. But remember, we're kind of on a treasure hunt, each of you individually. So what's the one thing maybe you're wanting to hold on to? Maybe Natalie has already said it. Maybe it's these four R's. Maybe Dee's about to say it, but be looking for, like, what's the one thing I'm going to experiment with this week? So, Dee, talk to us a little bit about how you've been living on God's word.
So, About 4 months ago, I was in this dry place with the Bible, where, like, I'd go to read it, but I would be like, well, I know what that says. I know what that says. I know what's happening there. And so I got into a place where I was like, yeah, I'm not really reading like I should because I know what it says, or so I thought. And so I went to Jake, and we talked about what was going on, and Jake gave me an assignment. And we went through the book of John, and every week I would read the same two chapters every day, and then I would write down some things that I was getting from reading those same two chapters, and then I also had to, and then he would give me a Bible verse to memorize. And so every Thursday for like 4 months at 6:30 in the morning, we would come up here. We'd meet up here, and we'd talk about what I read. And then he would quiz me on the Bible verse. And so what ended up happening was I ended up memorizing probably about 15 verses. And every week I would recite those verses to him on Thursday morning at 6:30. And Jake explained to me when we got started, like, as if he was like, well, if you're not going to do this, then, like, if you show up here and you don't have your Bible verse written, memorized, and you don't have stuff written down, then I'm not going to do this. Like, don't waste my time, basically, is what he told me. And first I thought, wow, Jake, that's kind of harsh.
And then it was early, though.
Yeah. You
know? Like, it was kind of early, too.
But then I realized, like, Jake's a busy man. And, like, to show up here at 6:30 every Thursday for a waste of time, like, he could probably use that time doing something else. And so I took it seriously. And so, anyway, what ended up happening was I've been living the same way. Prior to coming to Maywood, I lived the same way for a really long time. A lot of you guys know my story. I was addicted to drugs and alcohol for a long time. And I lived that way for a long time. And while I was living that way, there was really two things that could separate me from God. And that was methamphetamines and alcohol, or the combination of methamphetamines and alcohol. And, like, that was the two things that separated me from God. And after I got saved and I started coming to church, I realized that there's a lot more things that can separate me from God when I'm sober, like worry and anxiety and fear and resentment and greed and envy, lust, all those things. Like, those things were prevalent, and prevalent. So those things are what I had to combat, because those would block me off from the sunlight of the Spirit. And I didn't want to be blocked off anymore. So one of the biggest things for me was greed and financial worry. Even though I've got more money in the bank than I ever have, and even though, like, I've got nicer things than I ever have, I own a, like, there's a couple cars, and there's a nice apartment. Like, even though I still would get jammed up on money, I'd still be like, I need to work more, I need to have more money, and, oh, man, this, now my hours are getting cut, or they're not giving me a raise. And so one of the verses that I memorized was John 6:35, and it says, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And so I used that to combat greed and worry about money. And it's pretty much slipped away. I mean, I don't really worry about money like I used to. I'm pretty peaceful when it comes to things like that. I understand, like, my bank account goes up, my bank account goes down, but God provides everything I need and some of the things I want, and I don't really have to worry about it. Like, it, I... Now, don't get me wrong. I can't go buy new flat-screen TVs and be like, God's going to provide for my – he's going to pay the rent, even though I just went and bought a new truck or – like, I have to be wise. But what that did was it combated the greed and the worry and the anxiety that I was feeling towards money. So
D is now doing the exact same thing we saw Jesus do. That when temptation comes, D has this quiver full of arrows, you know, to throw at it. You know, he's got all these verses all the time that he's ready to apply to a situation. So he's ready to face temptation. We're going to talk about memorization here more in just a second. But first, D was also sharing, he'd read through the New Testament once and kind of was in this really bad spot. I've already read it once. What else does it have to say to me? But D came to me and said, this is what I'm going through. How do I get over this hump? If you're going through something when you walk with God and things are going dry or you feel like you're not progressing, find somebody else here in the church. There's lots of mature people here at the church. Find somebody and say, this is what I'm going through. I'm willing to work at it, but how do I do it? Like, how do I get over this? So, and if you're struggling with what D talked about, like, talk to D. Like, he's got a system now for that. But let's talk about memorization, because that's something we don't really do much as a society anymore. We've got Google or whatever, you know, we don't really memorize things. So talk to us about how do you memorize something? You know, if people want to be able to do what you're talking about, have verses on hand, how do you, because you've memorized, you know, 12, 15 verses, and you've got them all memorized. So how do you do that?
Well, first of all, I had to be real intentional about it. It wasn't something that was going to happen by accident. I wasn't just going to be able to memorize these verses unless I put some work into it. And so what I would do is every week, a couple times a week, I would sit down and I would write the memory verses that I knew. And then when I got to the new one, I would, you know, write it out of the Bible for about 10 times. And then I would shut the Bible and I would write it about 5 times with the Bible closed. And then during that week, I would go through the progression of these Bible verses, John 1:18, John 4:34, John 6:35, John 8:12, John 10:9 through 11, John 11:25 and 26. And I would go through that progression while I was driving, and I would keep them fresh in my mind. And then when I would show up to Jake, they weren't like I had to like cram for the Bible verses like at 5 o'clock. Now, I did sometimes. I had to wake up at 5 o'clock and write some things down. But I had the Bible verses there. Like the Bible verses were there, and I just would go through the progression during the week. Sometimes, you know, once every day. Sometimes 3 times a week, and so that's how I memorized it. Yeah, that's how I memorized it.
Yeah. So today, if you're thinking, man, I can't do that. When I face temptation, I don't have a verse. Maybe that's your experiment this week. Pick a verse that you know fits with a temptation you're going to face this week and memorize it and see what life is like carrying around a verse all the time, you know, knowing a verse all the time. Because it's changed D. You know, D 4 months ago is not the same person that he is right now. And so take an experiment with that. Find out, like, is this something you want to try to do? So, D, thanks a lot, man. Thanks for sharing with us.
Yeah, can I say one other thing?
Yeah.
Here's one thing that I learned through reading the same passage or reading the same chapters every day for a week straight. And I learned it through the story in Lazarus, and I learned it through the memorization process and writing these things down. And we just talked about it today in Sunday school that there's a difference between devotional love and emotional love. And so what I was learning is like, well, Jake, I'm not really reading the Bible because I ain't feeling it, you know? But that's not how Jesus, that's not what Jesus did. Like, we just read it today in Sunday school class. He said, my soul is troubled. Like, but God, if this is what you want me to do, I'll do it. And so it was the same way with me. Jesus was devoted to saving sinners like me. And so what I learned through this process is is that I want to be devoted to God, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's 6:30 in the morning, even when it's something that, you know, like there was a lot of time where the TV was left off so I could be reading this stuff and memorizing this stuff. And I wanted God to know that, God, I'm devoted to you. And I don't always have to feel great. And it didn't always have to, like, you don't always have to blow my hair back when I open the Bible for me to read the Bible. And so that's what I learned out of that whole process, is the difference between devotional love and emotional love. And that's all I got.
Yeah, thank you, D. So Rixie is going to be coming up. So Rixie Adams is coming up. Yeah, excited for that. So Rixie's our last testimony today, and Rixie's husband died here a little more than a year ago.
Four years ago. It'll be 4 years, May the 26th.
I did not know that. Yes. I mean, I remember it happening, but I just thought it was a long time ago, or I thought it wasn't that long ago. Okay. So, but talk to us a little bit. You're going through that, and you knew, you were kind of upset at first with God about why are you still here, but you knew God had a purpose for you. And so talk a little bit about this purpose you've been finding and how the scriptures tied into it.
Well, many of you know, it was 4 years ago, but I had never lived by myself, never ever. I got married at 19. I moved in with Ed. We were married and had our three children. Never had been alone, never had an apartment. When Ed passed away, and many of you know, you're Ed and Rixie or your whatever your partner is. And so when Ed died, I know God said to him, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You can come and live with me." But he left me in pain. He left me in a great deal of pain. And I didn't know how to deal with it. And I, like Jake said, I couldn't figure out why and what I was to do until I found Jeremiah. And Jeremiah says, "I have a plan for you to prosper." So, okay, I've got a plan. But now I'm living in fear because I had never lived alone. I was really, really afraid. Every night I would take a hammer, my screwdriver or a knife, my landline phone, and my cell phone to bed with me. Now, I can remember my son asked me, "Mother, what are you going to do with a hammer?" "Well, I'm going to ask the guy to stand still and let me hit him." I didn't know, but I had my hammer. And then my kids said, "Let's do a security system." So I put in a security system, but I'm still living in fear. I am still afraid. Until a verse it starts coming on every card that I get. And I'm going to read this verse because I have a cheat sheet. I keep verses that are special in this little thing. Here's what it says. It's Isaiah 41:10. "Rixie, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be distraught or dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." The hammer didn't do a darn thing. It just laid in the bed with me. The security system did go off several times, but it wasn't because anybody broke in. But the word of God began to gradually take away the fear.
Yeah. It set you free from that fear, and you made it personal. You know, we're looking for what's the thing you're going to do this week. And one of the things Rixie did that you could experiment with is, what is it like to write out verses as if they're personally written to me? What is it like if I get a little notebook and start writing in the verses that God lays in my heart and write them out like Rixie did as God's promise to me?
Well, when you talk promise, I don't know how anybody, Philippians 4:13 is one of my favorite, But the way I read it now is, Rixie, you can do anything through God which strengthens you. I had to begin to read the Bible in a different way and begin looking for the things God had for me, because honestly, I wasn't applying them to me.
No, you're okay.
You can defeat an enemy, but truly, I didn't have physical enemies coming at me. I don't think I've ever hit anybody except maybe my kids, and I don't think any of my, but I don't think my, you know, I don't think I've had anybody hit me. But my enemies were jealousy, worry, being stressed, overthinking things. Those are real enemies that, number one, you can't see, but that God can defeat them. And the scripture tells you that.
Yeah. So a phrase that you said to me this week that stuck with me, I love it, is you can't stand on the promises of God if you don't know the promises of God. So tell us a little bit about that.
I really, that's just a new one with me, because there are so many promises in the Bible. God promises us peace. He promises us strength. He's going to keep us safe. But I have a friend whose husband right now is in the dying process. I mean, it could be minutes. And again, I'm going to go to my cheat sheet, because it's found in Philippians. And Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. But Philippians 4:6 I was able to share with my friend, because she says, Rixie, I don't understand. She says, I don't understand why I have to go through these things. And she wasn't mad at God, but there was no understanding. In Philippians 4:6 it says, Rixie, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then, here's the key, and then the peace that will transcend all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And I was able to tell my friend that she's going to have peace that will pass understanding, and it's going to dwell in her heart forever.
Very good stuff, Rixie. Rixie, thank you so much for sharing with us today. So today, hopefully you've picked up on something somebody said. Maybe you really like Natalie's 4 R's, and you're going to try to read the Bible that way this week. Or maybe you liked how Dee has a verse ready when he gets tempted, and so you're going to memorize something this week. Maybe, like Rixie was talking about, you're going to have a little notepad or a little note card that you're going to carry around of, this is a verse that God gave me, and I'm going to write it out, and I'm going to stand on it. It's a promise that God's given me. So if you've decided what you're going to try to experiment with, the only other thing, if we can flip forward here a little bit, the only other thing to figure out for this experiment to work is what you're going to let go of. Because the reality is, you're probably already busy. And just like today, in order to do the responsive reading, we had to cut out some songs, and they were good songs. It's not that we don't like to worship God, and we're going to be doing some more worship next week, but we had to cut something out to make space for that new way of looking at Scripture. And if you're really going to succeed in experimenting this week with a new way of living on God's Word, you're going to have to let go of something. And I'm not saying let go of it for 50 years. I'm just saying the next 7 days, or even maybe one day this week. What would it be like if, when you got home at night after you ate dinner, if you turned your cell phone off? And you might miss out on some Instagram, you know, cute kittens or something. But maybe you'd find a promise, like Rixie said, that you could write down and stand on. Or what if you just unplugged your TV when you got home today and said, I'm going to do what Natalie did. I'm going to do the 4 R's. Every day before I plug the TV back in. I'm not going to watch any TV until I've done the 4 R's. Or what if you, like Dee, would write out Scripture until he had it memorized? What if instead of snoozing, he said, for the next 9 minutes, I'm going to write this verse out, or the next 18 minutes, or the next 27 minutes, however long you snooze, So what if you let go of something like that for just a week? What would your life be like? Because when we dig into the Bible, I think it's going to change us. And just like that experiment I was talking about at the very beginning, it stuck with me, even though I only did it one time. Whatever you experiment with this week, it might change your life. You might not remember all the sermons we do this year, just like I don't remember all of my seventh grade science class. But I remember that experiment. And I bet if you do an experiment this week, you'll remember it for years to come. So this is our response time right now. The worship team is coming up. It's a response time because it's your time to say to God, here's what I want to do. And tell God, I'm going to let go of this week, and I'm opening up that time to you. I'm giving you that time. And it can be really, really small. One of the guys in my small group last week, he said, you know, in the morning, I always spend a little bit of time in the bathroom, you know, seeing a man about a horse or however you want to word that. And he just, what we told him to do, he couldn't find time to read the Bible. We said, just don't take your cell phone into the bathroom. Just have a bathroom Bible, you know, that you just leave in there. And so he did that. He said he had a different week because of that. All he gave to God was that little bit of time while he's sitting in the bathroom. And it changed his week. So think about whatever level you're at, what's something I'm going to let go of and open up that time to God. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you love us, and I thank you that you've given us this gift of your word. Help us this week to open up to that gift. Help us to experiment with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.